Well, the Hall of Fame announcement came yesterday. I had some thoughts, and guess who also has some thoughts? Frequent friend of the podcast, Lisa Swan of Subway Squawkers. We're going to be talking about a lot of Red Sox Yankee stuff and probably some other things too. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting platforms. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter. Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Hey, people who follow the show, you know, I did the podcast with Josh Neighbors yesterday. That was an audio only. I'm seeing if I can make it the video as well. This is going to be an audio podcast as well. Most podcasts are. I'm just having some issues with the video situations and with all this news going on. Now's not the time to do an evergreen podcast about the history of the Texas Rangers cap. So I'm going to be doing a couple audio podcasts because I want to get my thoughts in. I want to get different points of view in. And especially regarding the election of David Ortiz and the non-election of several other, let's be kind and call them worthy people on the ballot. But hey, I can think of no worthy guests to have on this podcast. On the old Sully Baseball Daily podcast, she was my most frequent guest. In fact, a lot of times it was in case of emergency, break glass, Lisa Swan of Subway Squawkers is there. And unlike so many of my frequent guests, I've actually met at Lisa Swan in person. She's someone who I know, and we've been friends for God, how long? Do you want? Let's just hit the button. Bring in Lisa Swan of Subway Squawkers. How are you doing, my dear friend?
I'm doing well, Sully. I have a lot to say tonight, as you can imagine.
Just let the record show that while this is being dropped on the 26th, we are recording this on the evening of the 25th. In fact, I just recorded with Josh Neighbors the previous episode 45 minutes ago. So I'm on a little bit of a roll right here. But just to put a bow on that, I just was thinking about this the other day because you were on the Sully Baseball Daily podcast a bunch. You were also on the incarnation I had of Sully Baseball before the Sully Baseball Daily podcast. So you and I have known each other for over a decade.
Yes, that is true.
Yeah, that's difficult to fathom. But yeah, we have known each other for over a decade. I think Terry Francona was the manager of the Red Sox when you and I first became friends, because he was fired after 2011. And I know you and I, in the early version of Sully Baseball, you were on there talking about the great collapse, the chicken wings and the beer and everything.
Yes, yes.
That was two World Series titles ago. But
rub it in, why don't you?
I can't resist it. I can't resist it. All right. But hey, we're not here to rub anything in here. We're here to talk about very neutral things like David Ortiz getting elected to the Hall of Fame and Alex Rodriguez not. You and I are talking right now, and it is right now it's 7:30 in the evening on in California on the 25th day of January. We just announced that my dog just fell over there. You okay, girl? She can't believe the Hall of Fame vote either. The only person elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame from the writer's ballot was, I'm not a big war guy. That's not my big thing. I know a lot of people love it, but the man listed 16th on the ballot in career war was the only person elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that was David Ortiz. I'm sure you're perfectly fine with that, and you have no issues with anything going on with that. Lisa Swan, by the way, diehard Yankee fan, one of the great Yankee fans that I've ever met in my life. And just initial thoughts.
I'm going to surprise you a little bit. If I had a ballot, I would have put Ortiz on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with him being a first ballot Hall of Famer, except for the fact that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer in a year where Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, it was their last year on mm-hmm. this ballot, and they are left off and he's on. And we all know about his positive test in 2009.
Yeah.
So we have evidence of this. Now, he, years later, he said he was, you know, he's like Sherlock Ortiz. I'm going to find out the reason I tested positive and all. Then years later, he said it was some sort of supplement that, you know, you don't know what it was kind of like the A-Rod Lucy Goosey thing. But of course it was, you know, he didn't know what it was. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because people like that love to just put things in their body without knowing what it is. When you know your body is the thing that's going to make you a multimillionaire, you're usually loosey-goosey with stuff that you inject, ingest. You know, you just walk down the aisle, just grab a little thing there. It's not like you do anything that'll help improve your body.
Yeah, I mean, I won't even go out to eat like the night before a big race because I don't want to get food poisoning or whatever. It's like I'll stay at home and make sure I get the right thing and not screw it up. And I'm you know, 6-hour marathon. I'm not exactly, you know, got to be setting any world records here. But yeah, the idea that any of these guys put anything in their body and not know what it is, it's ridiculous.
I mean, look, I had a feeling you were going to say what you said about Ortiz in terms of his election. I mean, I think this is not just because of my Red Sox fandom. I think he's absolutely a Hall of Famer. I just think that the fact that we've allowed this ballot to be bottlenecked the way it has been over the last bunch of years has taken away any chance to have actual debate over the value of Hall of Famers like, you know, potential Hall of Famers like a Scott Rolen, or have a conversation about Gary Sheffield, who in many ways was a superior player to David Ortiz. You know, he played defense. He, you know, he may have been a better all-round hitter than Ortiz. Also was a big postseason performer. I mean, the Marlins won that World Series, and he basically destroyed the Giants in the playoffs to get to that World Series and had some huge hits against Cleveland in that year's World Series. And I must say, in terms of his swing, the two swings that I remember that remind me of a helicopter blade were Gary Sheffield's and Andre Dawson. Both had that sort of completely level.
Yeah,
but then when the speed, the both of those hitters, when the bat came across, it was just like, oh my God, like it's violent almost. But yeah, the fact that we've allowed Bonds and Clemens and Schilling to sit on the ballot for a decade, it's redonkulous. It's not even ridiculous. It's, as my friend Richie Duncan said, it's moved on to redonkulous. Yeah. And
two greatest Yankee killers of all time.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mentioned this on when Josh Neighbors was on the show, but I'll bring it up to you guys. I think I've mentioned this before. The way to get around Bonds would have been so easy. To just every year the Giants give him an at bat. You know, keep the clock going. I mean, he would just, you know, there's a bunch of, you're trying to tell me having Bonds come up to pinch hit in some of those situations, you know, would have been, believe me, I watched a bunch of games with my father, a bunch of Giants games with my father towards the end of his life. There's a lot of times the people coming off the bench, bring in Barry. Hit the old reset on the Hall of Fame clock and wait for all the fogies to die. But I want your take on Alex Rodriguez, because I know there's some Yankee fans who it was fashionable to hate Rodriguez for a period of time. You were never one of those Yankee fans.
No, you were
one of those people who acknowledged that he's the greatest third baseman in the history of the Yankees.
Yes. Yes, I some people say it's Nettles, but no.
Oh, stop. Stop, everyone. Just stop. Look, Greg Nettles was a terrific player. I'm not trying to besmirch Greg Nettles, but can we just stop that for a second? Holy Toledo. I mean, Alex Rodriguez is a generational talent.
Yeah, and it just give up to be I never understood like why fans didn't appreciate that he gave up going down in history as the greatest shortstop of all time to go play for the Yankees.
Yeah.
For his inferior.
Yeah.
In defense and offense.
So. Yeah, that was the I think you are in one of our many times together doing the podcast. So I think you were there during the endless Derek Jeter farewell tour of 2014, which I still think is going on. And there were some people saying the question, is he the greatest shortstop in the history of baseball? And you were like, he's not even the best shortstop on the infield right now.
That's right. Yeah, people still hate me over that.
But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And also, by the way, I've made this analogy before, okay? And I know it's always a dangerous thing when someone who grew up as big a Red Sox fan as I am starts talking about Yankee legacies. And I'm going to humbly apologize. I'm going to mention that year that took place between 2003 and 2005 right now.
What was the year again?
But listen to me here. This is going to say something about, do you know who I blame for the Yankee fan hatred of Alex Rodriguez? Do you know who I blame? I blame Mariano Rivera for this reason.
Yes.
If Rivera got those three outs in game four, without allowing the run to score, and they sweep the Red Sox, A-Rod would have been remembered for killing the Twins in mm-hmm. the division series. If they had a division series MVP, A-Rod would have won it in a landslide. Mm-hmm. And then he had was having a spectacular ALCS up until that point, and homered in game four. And yeah. he would have been remembered, like Reggie, as the big brash guy who came into New York and was controversial. Are you a Munson guy? Are you a Reggie guy? Are you an A-Rod guy? Are you a Jeter guy? But A-Rod walked the walk, and the Yankees would have murdered that Cardinal team. And oh, yeah. that he would have been, because he didn't do it that first year, and someone like Sabathia did. And Sabathia came in and delivered the goods the first year. Mm-hmm. I think that went a long way of putting a bad taste in their mouth, even though he won the MVP two of the next 3 years and basically won the 2009 title by himself.
Yes. There,
he never got past that bitterness from the fans.
No, it's true. It's definitely the what if, and it's bizarre to think of, but yeah, I mean, them's the breaks. But the thing that I'm most astonished by with him, I could go either way on voting for him this first year. I think it's perfectly appropriate for sports writers who may vote for him one day to say, you know, he got suspended for a year. He doesn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
He should be in the Hall of Fame, but I'm surprised as he got as many votes as he did. But baseball is so schizophrenic because on the one hand, it's like, well, he's his pariah. On the other hand, who does their broadcasts on Sunday night?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Baseball's done a terrible job in the last decade or so making stars.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you ask the average, I would say, like, my mother was still alive. Like, you know, my mother knew who Michael Jordan was. It's like, mm-hmm. These are ball players. Who would, you know, the average person doesn't follow any of this stuff, who would they know? And Jeter's up there and A-Rod's still up there. I mean, both. So it's like they're more famous than Mike Trout or anybody else in baseball now.
Much more. And, like, you know, they have no idea how to market people. You know, Trout's an amazing player, and I've been to many Angels games. It's fun to watch him play. I mean, it's more than just the the stats. I mean, he's enormously fun to watch and a likable guy who wants to play it's tough to say anything. And, you know, and as far as we know, Mike Trout is, you know, doing everything clean and doing everything the way we want. And I think the only thing he's tested positive for are Built Bars. Built Bars are the new tasty and the best tasting of all the protein bars out there. It's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. And you know what? If you want to eat healthy, you say, "Yeah, this just gets too boring." You're like, "Oh, this is, I miss chocolate." You can get your chocolate with your Built Bars. They're covered 100% real chocolate, and they don't taste like other protein bars, which would be chalky or waxy. It tastes like a chemical spill. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which has about 240 calories, 30 grams. What are we talking about? We know candy bars aren't good for you. They're candy bars. Literally, they're candy bars. But Built Bars, they taste great. And if you like flavors, I got so many great flavors. Coconut, almond, peanut butter, brownie, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie. My personal favorite is raspberry. I love that combination of raspberry covered in chocolate, that tanginess with chocolate. There's so many more. Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors. So check out Built.com to see what's new. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15. Get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. We're here with friend of the podcast, friend of my wife, and co-creator of Subway Squawkers, Lisa Swan. We're talking about the Hall of Fame ballot, of which Alex Rodriguez and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens did not get in, and yet David Ortiz did. Again, not a knock on Ortiz in my mind either. Some of this is kind of silly. Now, I had mentioned with Josh Neighbors on the previous show, I think that in a, maybe not right away, maybe in a decade, one of these committees, the kind that put Ron Santo in posthumously, the one that put in Buck O'Neill in posthumously, and, Minnie Minosa posthumously. I don't think necessarily they're going to put Bonds and Clemens and A-Rod in posthumously, but I think that once some of the old timers who might object to the Bonds and the Clemenses of the world being in the Hall of Fame start to, what's the word I'm looking for, dying. I think that the generation who grew up rooting for Bonds, who grew up rooting for A-Rod and Clemens and everyone will be, you know, will be satisfied with the election of them. I think they'll be put in by some form of veterans committee eventually.
I agree. It's so bizarre to me for so many reasons, because not to name any names, but you know who I'm thinking of other players who were in the Hall of Fame who I'm pretty sure were on steroids.
I said it in the other show. Yeah. I said that all this went down the window, out the window, down the toilet, whatever you want to throw it down, once Pat Rodriguez got in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He was part of Balco. And I'm not even talking about those suspicious ones like Bagwell or Piazza, people who I would vote in, who I think were Hall of Famers. But I think we're pretty freaking obvious. We're juicers. And then I think the whole they're a juicer argument is dead. It's a ridiculous. And as I mentioned yesterday, I'm repeating myself a little bit. It's more about who do you like? People liked Ortiz. They don't like Bonds, Clemens, or A-Rod. It's nothing to do with the PD.
Or Schilling.
Or Schilling.
Nothing.
He probably did. He probably was injecting it. That's probably what was making his freaking ankle bleed. I mean, come on. We're talking about what are the people talking? I'll throw Schilling under the bus for the reason that the concept of people using PEDs to heal, he healed pretty damn fast, didn't he?
I was just talking with Squawker John on this, that one of the things I've learned with my running journey of following this stuff with the PEDs, it's like they always say, well, it can't teach you hand-eye coordination or, you know, how to hit the ball. But recovery, I mean, if you've got something where I can tell you this from running, it's just like there are times where it's like if you could bounce back quicker, that's a big advantage. Yeah. Now, but here's the caveat, though, is that what were greenies?
Yeah. Exactly.
That was to help him bounce back.
Yeah, I mean that was a whole. I mean, you watch the great documentary about Doc Ellis called No, a baseball documentary, and which is a great, great movie. I don't know if you ever saw it before. It's really a fantastic film. And one of the things that he talks about was he said like 90% of baseball players in the 70s were taking some form of stimulant illegally, mm-hmm. and you know, to keep them alert, to have them play better. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was an arduous process of it was the travel at the time was probably a lot harder than it is now and everything, and it was just it was but they were taking the stimulant, which was, and people we know, beloved players in the Hall of Fame, were taking stimulants illegally. Now, are we going to take them? Are we going to dismiss Henry Aaron for taking stimulants? Mm-hmm. You know, are we going to sit down and have that conversation? I think it's a tough argument to say Henry Aaron doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then you get into the whole stuff of, and I've had people say this to me because my views have kind of evolved as time has gone on. And one of the big things is, how can you have not just Bud Selig, who profited on this and who looked the other way and who, you know, was there when all this was going on, presided over this. That's okay to have him in the Hall of Fame. And it's okay to have Joe Torre and Tony La Russa and Bobby Cox, who all also profited off it. But I guess, like, you know, they were all Mr. Magoo. Nobody knew what was going on. They're the guys in the locker room, but they don't know.
You know, and think about, I mean, I've been beating this horse because I did a whole podcast a couple of weeks ago defending Sammy Sosa's candidacy. You know, that, like, where would baseball have been if it wasn't for the Maguire-Sosa race? I mean, you and I are not the people that you have to worry about. I was there the first game back at Yankee Stadium where the Yankees played the Rangers the first day back after the lockout ended in 1995 because I'm a crazy golem-like addict when it comes to baseball. You know, but for people who are... You know, you remember all the people calling up WFAN saying, I'm never going to go another game. I'm never going. It was easy to get seats. Do you remember what the Daily News was doing in 1995 when baseball came back? They had a sort of thing. If you send in like four proofs of purchase and mail them in, you'd get tickets to a Mets game. Because they're trying to just put any asses in the seats to buy a foamware number one finger and a hot dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of stuff like if you look at the attendance at all, and yeah, that's like 98. The Yankees, you know, had the record-setting year, and that we had the Bonds and Sosa. That was really the year where
Maguire Sosa chase that.
Maguire Sosa.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I talked about this the other show, but I was doing a comedy show at the Gotham Comedy Club, and I was in the green room. And they had a TV, and I saw Maguire hit a 60-second home run. I was sitting next to the comedian Dana Eagle. By the way, look up Dana Eagle. She's a great, great comic. She's still working today. And the owner of the club came into the green room and told us, don't mention the fact that Maguire just hit the home run. Because then he was afraid people were going to get up and leave and like go to a bar. Because this is before you could check on your cell phone. He didn't want anyone leaving and not buying drinks there. So we had to be hush hush. But I was sitting next to Dana's, you know, still my good friend. She didn't care a damn about baseball. And she jumped out of her seat when Maguire, and if you remember that home run, it was like a laser beam. It was a little, is it high enough? Is it high? It wasn't like one of those majestic shots. It was kind of a line drive that just cleared the wall and right down the left field line. And it was magical. And people who never cared about, who vowed. You know, I remember saying to a couple, I was looking around Yankee Stadium when it was packed in 1999, thinking, how many of you people said you were never coming to another game?
It's true. It's true. It's like football with the kneeling and how many fans who thought they were never going to come back. But that's a whole other can of worms.
Yeah, welcome to Locked On Can of Worms. I'm not going to open up that one right now. But yeah, I mean, you and I remember in like when I first moved to New York in 1990, Yankee tickets were pretty easy to cut by. You know, all the talk was, are they going to move out of the Bronx? They can't sustain it. Were they going to move to the Meadowlands? We're going to build a ballpark by the Jacob Javits Center. Remember that one, that rumor for a long time?
Yeah, you know? And then they were going to do the Jets there.
Yeah, oh God, yeah, that would have been really smart. And then when
Bloomberg was pushing for the Olympics, that was hilarious.
That was, that was a whole different, that was the stupidest thing, thinking they could put a football stadium in Manhattan where there would be no parking there. Mm-hmm. Because that's not how people go. People love to just take trains to the football stadium. That's usually how it happens, right? There's no tailgating. But then lo and behold, like, and not only lo and behold, you had the Yankee attendance went through the roof. You know, the Giants signed Barry Bonds. The Giants are in Tampa Bay. if they don't have Barry Bonds. You know, he saved the Giants. And by the way, there's a direct, a new ballpark, the best ballpark in baseball is built in San Francisco. And it lays the money that was brought in there. In Bonds' final season, his manager was Bruce Bochy, and his teammates were Tim Lincecum and Matt Cain and Pablo Sandoval. It was the foundation for the team that was going to go on to win three World Series in 5 years. That's not happening in San Francisco unless Bonds is there. You think there's going to be the interest that, you know, you had the Cubs games on WGN Superstation. People are tuning into that left and right to see Sammy Sosa do that, hop up in the air. People are, you know, loving the idea of, oh my God, there's Roger Maris's family hugging Mark McGwire and and Billy Crystal says roll camera, all this stuff. And to act like this is something we're going to pretend didn't happen, you know, in terms of who we elect and honor in the Hall of Fame, but Bud Selig is there.
Yeah, well, plus we pretend that it'd be one thing if they left, which would be really stupid, but to just like leave everybody out. But it's basically it shouldn't be the Hall of Likeability, and that's what it kind of is now. It's are you a nice guy? And we're teased. I mean, we knew this that Jim Rice, it took him what 15 years to get in the Hall.
Yeah,
because he was prickly with the media. But it's like Ortiz was nice with the media, and but Bonds and Clemens were not. So and Selig certainly was not. So it's like that's made a difference, and it shouldn't.
By the way, I wonder why Jim Rice was prickly in the media, being sometimes the only African American player on the team playing for the Yawkey family in Boston in the 80s. Yeah. Gee whiz, I wonder why he was in a bad mood.
Yeah, and when he went to Yankee Stadium and they threw batteries at him.
Yeah, but meanwhile, when a kid got hit with a line drive, it was Jim Rice who came in and helped the kid. I mean, like, people loved Jim. It's kind of like, you know, I love when people say he was a jerk, he was a prickly person. Like, Eddie Murray had the reputation of being a prickly person, except when you talk to his teammates,
yeah,
who all swore by him. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, it's like, you know, if you don't kiss up to the media, you know, I'm still angry that it took Jim Rice that long to get to the Hall of Fame. And there's some other people, but that's a different thing. But yeah, it is Ortiz and Pettit got a pass. Both of them got a pass because they were, I mean, Pettit was an incredibly likable guy and it seemed like a sweetheart of a man and everything like that.
Yeah, he only did it 2 times. So
I know you and I have never stopped giving him crap about I was crying the 2 times I did it. It's like, steroids don't work like that. You have to literally cycle them. And as he crisscrossed the country with Roger Clemens, like, you know, gee, Roger, where are we going today? We're going to Houston, we're going back to New York. You know, it's like the Looney Tunes, where you had the big bulldog and the Spike, we're gonna chase some cats today. Am I going too deep dive with some of my Looney Tunes references here? All right, fine.
Yeah, the one thing I will say with like whatever it is with Clemens versus Pettit, that Pettit is literally in Monument Park now. And Clemens, like after the Mitchell report, we're going on, 2007? I'm not good at math.
Yeah, it's 15 years, yeah.
15 years, yeah. And he's still like, I mean, when Yankee Stadium closed, they just like pretended he was never a player.
Yeah.
And, you know, he only had this 2 terms as a Yankee, but I mean, I wouldn't argue that it's like, you know, like that he meant more to the franchise than Pettit. I get all that, but it's so funny that they've just kind of forgotten him. Yeah. They don't want to talk about him.
Yeah, that's wild. Well, look, I think it's a surefire bet that eventually a veterans committee will put them in the Hall of Fame. And I think people will forget this whole build up to it, because once they're in the hall. I think that's the surest bet you could ever have. And if you're going to make any bets, go to Bet Online, which remains the number one spot for all the bet sports wagering for 2022. Got a new year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. Sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use our promo code Locked On to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, UFC, right down to your favorite Las Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. I just did a BetOnline spot. Talk about the Hall of Fame, Pete Rose. But
New York has just legalized this stuff, and so it's so funny because it's like I've gotten invited to different things, and I get all these special offers. It's just wild. It's like I can't believe this is happening. So yeah,
I'm not going to repeat myself on the other show. I do believe that Pete Rose would be in the Hall of Fame if he wanted to be. He's had so many chances. He just knows the minute he's in, he no longer becomes relevant. You know, he can't camp out. He can't be a martyr. You know, the next time he becomes in the news is if he dies. So yeah. he would like to be in, but he would rather cash in.
He could have been in
back in 2002.
Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, people are forgiving in a lot of ways. Just think about it. The Michael Vick is a broadcaster. And this is someone, I mean, there's a certain segment of population will never forgive him. But
Mike Tyson is this cute, lovable character. I'm thinking like he's a convicted rapist. What this is like, it's not even hyperbole. You know, it's like what are we doing? But it's like, you can rehabilitate, you know, especially something as seemingly benign as betting. I mean, that's why I think that he had the chance to do it 20 years ago. And every time he's like, no, I'd rather cash in. I'd rather make the dough.
Yeah, I think Clemens and Bonds may have. I think Schilling was a mistake, and I don't know what he's his own worst enemy. Yes. That was saying that, you know, take me off, because he was borderline, and there was enough people like, okay, fine, I'm not voting for you. I think that was a big mistake. But I think if Clemens and Bonds had kind of played the media a little more and done some stuff, maybe they would have gotten in.
Well, I think Schilling, who I've had arguments with about creationism on Twitter, which is a weird, sounds like a Mad Lib. But I think that when he got a cancer diagnosis, if he had just kept his mouth shut and stopped going, look, I'm not turning this into a political thing. There's a difference between being, more conservative than me. I'm a pretty left-wing guy, but there'd be some more conservative than me and being a Looney Tunes, retweeting pictures of wanting to hang reporters and stuff like that. It's like, dude, just keep your mouth shut and play the cancer sympathy card, because, because he had that. He had that right there, because he also has the Hall of Fame resume. He was a wonderful pitcher, pitching in the steroid era and dominating in the postseason. I mean, he was one of the best postseason pitchers I've ever seen in my life. And he was, and think about what he did in, I mean, again, I brought up 2004, now I'm bringing up 2001. I humbly apologize, but, you know, he was, he was unbelievable that postseason.
Yeah, I mean, depending on how you look at it, either he or I would say him and Ortiz both have the argument of greatest Yankee killer of all time. You can make the case for both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that is frustrating, you know, like, and we bring up, I mean, Clemens's number is not retired by the Red Sox, which is, to me, banana land. He's the greatest pitcher in Red Sox history. And this is coming from Pedro's my favorite player of all time. Pedro Martinez is my, if you ask Sully, who's your favorite baseball player ever? The answer is Pedro Martinez. Mm-hmm. That's just so you know, for emotion. Younger, I would have said Roger Clemens. I was a huge Clemens fan. I love aces. That's part of it. I love a dude who's an ace. There's, to me, that is such a badass. To me, when I loved J.R. Richard. I loved when that great season Hershiser had. I loved when Valenzuela at his peak. You know, I'd love the people who, and I know there's some statistical people you could point to at better careers than something, but I love the ones who they're on the mound, especially when they're having a dominant year. You're just like, oh boy, I can't watch to see this one pitch. And Clemens had so many of those years, and you know, Pedro had those years, and you know, you had individually, like David Wells had one, he was always a good pitcher. He had that one great year in Yankeedom in 98, where he just was just a stud. That was the year he threw the perfect game. I just have an affinity for aces, and both Pedro and Roger were that, and Schilling was that.
Yeah, and CC, and you know,
yeah, like, Sabathia absolutely. His peak was incredible.
Yeah. On the other hand, Mike Mussina, who is in the Hall of Fame. I mean, as a Yankee fan, I could never say any. I can't say anything. What was it? Eight years he was a Yankee. That, oh wow, we got you know, we're gonna win. We got Mussina, or I can't wait to go see Mike Mussina pitch. And yeah. I'm not shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, but the idea that he's in and Clemens isn't. Come on.
Yeah, there are some pitchers out there who had, you know, I liked watching Maddux pitch because he always looked like he looked like Radar O'Reilly on the mound, and somehow was, you know, he looked like a professor, and he somehow was just frustrating everybody. But there are some of those pitchers who had, you know, great, you know, had wonderful careers, but were just kind of like, okay, yeah. I mean, that's you're right. Mussina was one of those who statistically, yes, I'll nod my head and say yes. But I had never got that sense with him, like as I got with like, Roy Halladay for me. When Roy Halladay was just one of those, you know, you like goosebumps. Okay, Roy Halladay's going to pitch. I just loved watching him pitch because he just got the sense he would just dominate that game. But
And the thing is with a lot of these guys, like all these ones we're talking about, they were like, I consider like you're a true superstar in a lot of ways, where people love to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And
that is the thing. That is the thing that Barry Bonds said. Is like, no one, you know, to go to Dodger Stadium, the whole stadium screaming, "You suck." They're not going to say that to someone who's in really great.
Exactly.
And I said on Aaron Foley's podcast that nobody ever says, "Do you know who I hate? I hate Julio Lugo." May you rest in peace. May Julio Lugo rest in peace.
But Reggie Jackson used to say that, you know, fans don't boo nobodies.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Schilling would be in if he played the cancer sympathy card. That's all he had to do. That's all he had to do. It's simple. And,
well, his wife had cancer too. That's another.
So, yeah. But, well, look at now we have one thing I want to do. I didn't get a chance to do this on the other show. I'd like to do it with you here. We have the complete Hall of Fame results in front of me. Ortiz had 77.9% of the vote. Bonds and Clemens fell off with 66 and 65, respectively. Then you have the two interesting ones that are hanging around. Scott Rolen is at 63.2. I think Scott Rolen had a great career. Todd Helton is hanging around at 52%. I think that the Coors Field thing is going to work against him, but he may get in. And then you're seeing like the likes of Billy Wagner and Andrew Jones sort of hanging around there. And A-Rod starts off at 34.3%. Of that group, with Scott Rolen on the, you know, at 63.2, and with next year, who's the big ones coming in next year? Hold on a second. The next year you have who's the big? You'll have Carlos Beltran, who doesn't have a chance, and yeah, I mean, you have like the Jacoby Ellsburys and the Jason Worths of the world. So I mean,
yeah, John just mentioned that to me, like, oh, well, you know, next year at least you got Ellsbury to root.
Well, as a Red Sox fan, that's the ultimate, to have him win the titles with the Red Sox and then milk the Yankees money. That's like, he was like a double-edged. Yeah, Carlos Beltran is going to be the biggest first ballot for next year. So you have Rolen and Rodriguez will be on the top of that. And everyone else, I mean, Teixeira, Jimmy Rollins. I mean, none of these are Hall of Famers.
No.
So do you think that we're looking at a Rolen ceremony next year? And do you think A-Rod, who's been denied being a first ballot Hall of Famer, might ride some of this what the hell sentiment post Bonds and Clemens and get into the Hall of Fame next year?
Yeah, I mean, it's I still just can't get past the way that the I almost expect, like, with the Veterans Committee, these old-time players, of, you know, at least the way they've had it constituted, that they're going to be like, oh, I'm not, in my day, we didn't do that stuff or whatever. But these baseball writers, that they're still, like, haven't come to grips with this. We're going on 25 years now. They still haven't figured it out. So it's just, and some of them say, well, we shouldn't have the vote or whatever. We shouldn't have to be the ones to decide this. Well, great, then you guys shouldn't do the vote.
Yeah.
And not to mention the sports writers who have this privilege and they decide to do a blank ballot. I think that you shouldn't be allowed to do a blank ballot. And I think everybody should have to say who you voted for.
I think you and I have had this discussion. If you have a Hall of Fame vote, you have to have turned in you have to have been writing about the players who are on that ballot. You know, if you were not watching or not really being part of baseball at that point, then there's no difference between that and you and I voting on Allie Reynolds or someone from the 1950s Yankees. You know, it's like we didn't watch it. I don't know. You have to.
And they haven't really. A couple bloggers have gotten the get the vote. Obviously, we haven't. But I mean,
The night's young.
That's right. The thing of it is also is like with the vote, I don't feel that some of them take it seriously. And I just also the thing, like, I mean, it's just like there was so much good, despite the steroids or maybe because of it, maybe it's a combination. There were so many good moments in the last 25 years that are just totally, they don't want to, it's like they don't want to acknowledge it. It's just crazy. So, and on the other, hand, like football, they just, I mean, obviously there has to be steroids. I was thinking about this today. Like if I found out that Tom Brady was on something, would it change my feelings on him with the last few, you know, because I used to hate Brady, but after he beat the, you know, the Falcons, I was like, I admire him.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like, if I found this stuff and it's like, I really wouldn't care. It's entertainment.
Yeah.
That's what's on all this stuff now.
All right.
It's entertainment.
We do what's also entertainment, doing a podcast with a guest like Lisa Swam. Oh, by the way, thanks so much for making Locked On MLB your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting platforms. And make your second listen be Locked On Bets with your boy Q at Expert Analysis from Lee Sterling. Hey, Lisa Swam, where can people follow you and read your stuff and maybe catch on one of the 68 marathons you run every month?
Okay. Go to subwaysquawkers.com.
Yep. And follow us. You don't even have to be a Yankee fan. How do you know? I've been following for years. And I think I'm going to go out on a limb here, Lisa. I don't think I'm a Yankee fan. Well, hey.
Oh, no.
Follow us at Lockdown MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Lisa Swam, thanks so much for jumping aboard. I knew you and I were going to have a really good conversation. And thanks so much for being part of Lockdown MLB. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.